All right. Two places. Psalm 116 and 1 John 4. Psalm 116 and 1 John 4. We've been looking at this for a couple weeks now, and we'll read Psalm 116 first. I love the Lord, and then there's a comma there, and he says, because. And that's what we've entitled our lesson, is simply because. In the one word, because. And the psalmist goes on to say why, and he gives some reasons. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Verse 2, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold of me, upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then call I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. There's another reason why he's saying, I love the Lord. He's merciful. He's gracious to me. And he's gracious and merciful to us all. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, and mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And there again, he said, I love the Lord, and what have I, all the benefits that he's put before me, all the benefits that he loads me down with daily. What can I give in return for that? He said, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious is in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee. O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. He starts out this psalm with, I love the Lord, and he ends it with, praise ye the Lord. And then in 1 John chapters number 4, and we'll see how many times the word because is found in this chapter. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because, why would he do that? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby ye know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, Not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Now I remember where we left off somewhere last week. We love him because he first loved us. Is in 1 John 19, and I said last week, you've heard me quote that many times, and a natural man don't love God, to himself, natural man will worship the creature more than the Creator. And the basics of love, of our love for God, rest on the foundation of His love for us. He loved us when we was unloving. R.C. Sproul said, we are secure not because we hold tightly to Jesus, but because He holds tightly to us. And He's the one holding on to us. If we was holding on, then our hands might slip many times, and most of the time probably would. But He has a secure hold on us. And Moses reminded the children of Israel that God loved them just because He loved them. No explanation. He said, just because. And He loves us just because. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, our little song that we sing. And Jeremiah, he reminded the Hebrews that God loved them with a timeless love. He said in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Jeremiah said, the Lord has appeared unto me. Well, Jeremiah, what did he say to you? He said, I have loved thee not only with an ancient love, but with an everlasting love. Love that never fails. It's not going to fail. An everlasting love stays. It never fails. So therefore, he said, I've extended or have drawn out loving kindness unto thee also, as well as the as your ancestors. Or with loving kindness have I drawn thee to myself as thy God. For those who are saved, we are interested in the fact that God's love is everlasting. God's love is everlasting. Nobody, Hosea was probably one of the most tragic people in the Old Testament. Married a woman named Gomer. And we don't know if Hosea knew the kind of person she was. God knew what kind of person she was. But maybe he thought, if he did, maybe he thought she would change. But things went kind of sour for them. A son was born, and he was to name him Jezreel, a name weighed down with judgment. And Gomer not only being very, probably not very excited about this taking place, and got tired of being married to a preacher. And so after the third son was born, Hosea was sure that Gomer was had been unfaithful to him. And so after this, Gomer left home and took to the streets. And however, Hosea's love remained the same. He still loved her. And he still, he may have saw her from time to time out on the street. And he may have noticed that she had also became a drunkard. And still, Hosea's love held true. Hosea watched and he waited until the day came when this wretched woman hit bottom. And she sold herself as a slave. And Hosea sought out and found the man who owned her. And he bought her and took this reeking wreck of a woman back home. And she now belonged to him by right of purchase. So he cleaned her up, put her under restraints, and took the two children in and loved them as his own. And we're not told whether or not Gomer ever responded to the extraordinary love that Hosea showed her. But all was a story of God's love and the longing of that love for love in return. And the tragedy of Hosea's home life became a story ordained of God. And the book ends with God saying to the Hebrew people in Hosea 14:4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them. Because the love that in 1 John 4 in 19, or rather in here in Psalm, he said, I love the Lord because, and nothing, all the psalmist gave reasons why he said, I love the Lord. He said, because, and he goes on and tells us a number of reasons why he loved the Lord. And because he's inclined his ear, he's bent down and listened to his prayers, and he's taken care of him. And if it wasn't for the mercy, that if it wasn't for his mercy, we'd all be consumed. Because he don't owe us anything. He owes us nothing. He loves us. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. This I know. He gave himself to die for me. Why? Because he loved me so. David said, as great as our love toward each other is not even close to the love that he has for us. I remember the first time, and y'all believe it or not, I was the first one to tell my wife that I loved her before she told me. And we was talking on the phone, and we'd talk hours on the phone. And back then, you know, you didn't have call waiting and all this kind of stuff. And the when you tried to call, you get a business signal. And my dad, he had a fruit stand down in Sonora at the time, and he tried to call one night, needed to get in touch with somebody at home. I forgot what the situation was, but it was important. And when he got home, he was pretty upset about why the phone had been so busy. But we talked on the phone hours at a time. But anyway, we was on the phone, and we was talking, and I said, I love you. And she didn't hesitate one minute. She didn't wait. She immediately came right back and said, I love you too. And it didn't, I mean, it wasn't no hesitation about it. And our Lord loves us. And he loves us. The psalmist said in 116:12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Not only has God saved us from sin, but He has also given us benefits. Benefits that we don't even realize many times. He continues to do so every day. David said in Psalm 68:19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily, he said, loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Selah. And that word Selah means stop and think about what you just read. Now stop and think about that for just a minute. "Blessed be the Lord who daily," he said, "and he loadeth." Most of you men have had a truck and you just load it down with something and you got a load there. Or you've seen that happen. And I've had times that I just went and got some gravel and put in my yard, and I just put a load on my truck, and they put it on there by the scoops fools, and they put a scoop on there, and I looked at it and looked at the tires, and I said, "Put another half one on there," and and it set it down a little bit more, and I said, "I believe it'll hold another half." When I was going down the road, and the front end of that truck got light because I had loaded it down. And He loads us down. The Lord loadeth us down with benefits. And He said He does it daily with His blessings. And they are also constant, even at times, as we said, that we're unaware. And along with David, we have good reason to say, "I love the Lord because." Because, and we can, as we said last week, every one of us, we can stand up and we can say, "I love the Lord because He's done this for me. He's watched over me. He's done," and we can give all kind of reasons. You remember when God told Abraham to go offer up his son, his only son whom he loveth, whom he loved? Abraham did as God commanded to him. To do, and as he was about to come down with the knife to sacrifice that sacrificing blow, in Genesis 22:15-18, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because," there's that word "because" again. He said, "Because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand of the sea which is upon," or "the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." And so the Abraham, because Abraham obeyed God, again, disobedience, we said last week, disobedience can get us in trouble a lot of times. But obedience can being right the opposite can help us out many times. If we're obedient to what God tells us to do, then it's going to, it's just like when we was coming, or we did our children. When they were obedient, then things, went all right. But when they were disobedient, or when we is coming up, we pretty much was obedient to our parents. There wasn't no such thing as back talking, and if it was, you'd end up halfway across the yard somewhere. But disobedient. You see what disobedience got Adam into? Got him into trouble. And you see what Jonah, being disobedient, got him in trouble. But because Abraham was obedient and never questioned, he never questioned him. When the angel of the Lord out of heaven laid not thy hand on his son, he said, "Don't do anything to him." And Abraham looked, there was a ram caught in the thicket there. And I guess it just wandered up by by chance, you know, it just, that ram just wandered up there and got away from the crowd of the rest of them. It was just by accident that the ram was caught in, got itself caught in the bush. No, God providentially put it there. And because Abraham obeyed God, his son was spared. And what about Hannah's story? In 1 Samuel, chapters number 1, we know the story, kind of how the story goes. Hannah asked God for a child. And she did not only ask him for a child, she asked him for a man-child. And Hannah was, as she was weeping and praying, Eli thought she was drunk. And but in 1 Samuel 1 in verses number 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Because she asked the Lord to give her a son. And because she did and because she prayed, God gave her a son. And the Lord gave Hannah what she asked for, and he answered her prayer, and for that she was greatly thankful. And it came time that the family was to go to offer their yearly sacrifices to the Lord. But Hannah didn't because she had not yet weaned the child. She had not yet at that time weaned Samuel. And so she had to wait till she had weaned him. And then she waited till it was time enough to where she could leave him. And verse 24 says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Hannah could say, along with Psalm 116 and verse number 1, I love the Lord because he answered my prayers, he kept her, and she kept her vows just like she promised she would. God, if you would give her a son, she said, I'll return him back to you. And she did just that. And what about the young man in John chapters number 9? Brother Ron mentioned that during some of his study. If you asked him, he would say, oh yes, I can give you a good reason for Psalm 116 in verse 1. And he could say, I love the Lord because I was once blind, but now I can see. And we won't take up the time to read that whole chapter, but remember, he was questioned over and over. And his parents was questioned over and over. You know, what's going on here? What took place? And the young man, all he could say is, all I can tell you, I don't know about the man. I don't know a whole lot about him. But all I know is I was once blind, but now I can see. And he said, because of that, I love the Lord. Because, he said, I was once blind, and now I see. What about the lepers in Luke 17? 10 lepers healed, but only one came back to give God thanks to the Lord for what was done. He would say, I love the Lord because. He could say that. And we have to remember that the law of Moses, lepers were outcasts. They were considered no part of society, and they were not to be around others. And in Leviticus 13:46, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. Now imagine how the lepers felt. Not only with the pain of their that they had to go through, but the shame also, not being able to communicate with other people, not being able to go around other people every day, do the everyday things that they did. the things that, but they cried out to the, all of them cried out to the Lord Jesus from afar off. They couldn't come up closer. They had to cry out from afar off, "Have mercy on us." And the Lord had mercy on them, and He healed them, and they went on their way. And as they were going on their way, one of them stopped, and he thought, "Now, what kind of condition was I in? Look at the condition I was in. I was a leper. I was away from society. I wasn't able to get around people. And I had a painful disease. And that man healed me. And am I to just go on and forget about it? Look at me. Look at what I was, and look at me now. Is where that the Lord has, where that the Lord brought me from, the condition I was in. And I have to go back and give God the glory." And the other nine were already healed and were on their way to the priest so that they could be restored back to the society and get back to their life in the world. They were more concerned about getting on, going home and going on their merry ways and getting back out into the world. And most people, you know, many people, they'll come to church they'll have a tragic situation. They'll come to church for a little while. Things kind of turn around a little bit, and they're right back out where they were to begin with. And they just want what they can get out of the Lord. And the other nine was, as we said, but the one came back and thanked the Lord Jesus for what He had done for him. Do you think 1 out of 10 people today are thankful for what the Lord does for them? I don't know, but this man was, and he was saying, "Lord, I'm thankful for what You've done for me. I'm thankful for what You've done because," he said, of what you, where I was. And we can all say, "I'm thankful for what the Lord's done for me, because I know where I was before He found me. I know what kind of condition I was in when the Lord found me. I know where I was before the Lord found, when the Lord found me. And I was out there and in the world, and things, I didn't have anything. I could have cared less at the time until the Lord brought me to Himself. And I love the Lord, and we can put ourselves in that position and say that. We could go on and answer, as we said, we can answer one after one thing after another. How that one of our songs in our songbook says, "There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, Your sunshine on the way. It tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because He first loved me." In another song, "My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, it's now. I love Thee because," see, the songwriter even, songwriters even used that word. And because, he said, "I love the Lord because Thou has first loved me." And he's, that's where these songwriters, see, they went to Scripture and get these songs. They're not like some of the new modern day songs that they just come out with all kind of mumble-jumble stuff and you don't half understand what they're saying. But he said, I love thee because thou first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, just now. I love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, just now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I sing with the glittering crown on my brow, if ever I've loved thee, my Jesus, tis now. And so we, 1 John said, we loved him. And verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And in verse number 10 it says, wherein is love? Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He has always loved me. His love is incentive, the motive, the moral causes of ours. And how can we help but to love such a God as this? I mean, how can we help not to love him? Who was first in the act of work of love, who loved us when we were both unloving and unlovely. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us. We who loved us at a time so great a rate, who has been seeking and soliciting our love at the expense of his Son's blood, and has consented to beseech us to be reconciled unto him. May heaven and earth stand amazed at such love. His love is productive, is the productive cause of ours. Of his own will begat he us, or of his own free loving will. Romans 8:35-39 says, who shall separate us from the love of God, of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creative creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus gave everything he had when he shed his blood on the cross. As you've heard our pastor say many times, I don't think it was necessarily his quote, but he's quoted it many times. It says he turned his pockets inside out, and he gave it all. R.C. Sproul said, Jesus suffered so deeply because the extent of evil in the world is so vast. Jesus performed miracles because he loved people, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, opening blinding eyes, making lame to walk, raising the dead. Yes, and all he did was to bring glory to the Father. But he did it because he loved people. Brother Mark and Brother John and myself sing that song, Because He Loved Me. I mentioned it last week. The songwriter was thinking of what Jesus did at Calvary. And he said, because he loved me. Because he loved me. On a hill called Calvary, Jesus my Lord suffered for me, carried the cross, all my sins to atone, because he loved me. My Savior died on a cross, was crucified. No greater love as mortal man has ever been known. He suffered it all. Why? Because He loved us. Because He loved me. They nailed Him to the cross, and He shed His blood and died there, was buried, put on the third and glorious day, God came and rolled a stone away. He arose from the dead. Why? Because He loved me. I'm with the songwriter. Oh, praise His dear name. He loves me so. Now I'm His. He's mine, I know. He suffered it all. Why? Because He loved me. He left the portals of glory, came down to the earth, entered into a virgin's womb, born without sin, lived a sinless life. And He told His mother and Joseph at the age of 12, I must be about my Father's business. And from the beginning, He had His eyes focused on Calvary. Why? Because He loved us. Because He loved me. Proverbs 31:3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He draws us, calls us, saves us, brings us to Himself, makes us aware of our need of Him, opens up our blinded eyes to salvation in all of us, all of our loving kindness. Why? Because He loves us. Because He loves me, my Savior died on a cross, was crucified. He suffered it all. He drank the cup that the Father handed Him, and He drank it dry. Matthew 26:39 says, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, as I will, but Thy will be done. Thy will. He paid it all. Jesus never half done anything. He never changed horses in the middle of the stream. And He loved us, or rather we loved Him, because He first loved us. We're going to stop there for tonight. Our Father, we bless and thank You once again for Your mercy and Your kindness. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, for the request that's been made today, here this evening. We pray that Your will be done. Pray that You'd touch our pastor and help him, Lord, that he'll be able to be back with us soon. And, Lord, the other sick folks of our church, we pray that You'd be with them and help them. And, Lord, that You would go with us as we go our separate ways this evening. And go into our homes. You give us a good week, the rest of this week, that we magnify and glorify You. And all You do for us, we'll praise You and thank You. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.